The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
European leaders have reaffirmed their support for Denmark and Greenland following increased overtures from the US that it would either take control of the Arctic territory by military force or else by buying it. I suppose shades of the US buying Alaska from Russia back in 1872. They bought it for $7.2 million, which would only translate to about $200 million today. And there's no way that that would be the kind of price that Denmark would be looking for in the event that they did sell Greenland with all its implications for minerals and also for defence. Anyway, despite all of this, the leaders showed a lot of support for Greenland, also showing support for Ukraine. So let's talk about all of this with Suzanne Lynch, Brussels Bureau Chief with Bloomberg. Suzanne, good morning.
Good morning.
So wholehearted support for Denmark and Greenland, but what can they do if the Americans decide to intervene?
Well, this is a big question now, and there is growing concern about these repeated statements from the United States over the last 3 days that it wants, or in Donald Trump's words, needs Greenland. And I think the statement by a group of about six or seven countries yesterday was significant. They said, not surprisingly, that they felt that the future of Greenland was up to the people of Greenland and Denmark. But they also talked a lot in the statement about security, saying that, you know, they were committed to supporting the security apparatus, defence issues around Greenland, saying that Europe had already stepped up in this regard and that it was a focus for NATO. So trying to appease Trump and, I suppose, plead with him that actually, in fact, the Europeans do know about security challenges with Greenland, and NATO and Europe are doing something about that, and calling on the US to work with them on that.
Now, even the Danes themselves have been pointing out that they feel very embittered by this, because they did send their troops on the various misadventures that the US got involved in Afghanistan and Iraq. The Danes died there on behalf of America, and they feel that this is perfidy in the extreme. But they also say, look, they have a base up there. Nothing wrong with them having two or three bases up there. They don't need to own the place to still have those security guarantees.
Yeah, that is a key message coming from Copenhagen. And what they're saying now is that the Danish foreign minister has been out saying, look, we want to talk to Secretary of State Marco Rubio. We need to stop this kind of messaging via the media overnight from the US every morning, waking up to more comments. And we want to sit down around the table or get on a call with the Americans about this. As you say there correctly, the US does have access in Greenland, does have the ability to send more troops if it wants into Greenland. The idea now that Rubio reportedly told members of Congress yesterday that, in fact, he played down the idea of military intervention and talked about buying Greenland. Now, that how that would work, how that would manifest itself, is extremely unclear. It doesn't seem to have been communicated to Denmark in any way. So I think what was interesting last night, the White House also issued a statement saying that, you know, it's always been part of the American national security strategy, this focus on Greenland, and not ruling out military action. Although these comments that are reported from Rubio suggest that he was trying to play down that idea of military action, and that it would be more that he would, as he put it, buy Greenland.
Now, the point of domestic support for this idea, I mean, a lot of people in the Republican Party now feel this is just one Republican last night called it BS. They think it's nonsense, and perhaps it will become apparent that after Venezuela, the president is kind of, he lost the run of himself entirely, and he's going on with this kind of stuff. But it's also a useful deflection from Epstein.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it is true that some Republicans during that briefing yesterday raised concerns about this. And even though the briefing by Rubio was on Venezuela, they changed, or they also asked about Greenland amid growing concern about that. In saying that, even the EU has been clear in saying, look, Venezuela is not Greenland. The issue with Venezuela was a questionable and illegitimate, as the EU sees it, government in Venezuela. Obviously, Donald Trump himself has said that drugs are an issue in Venezuela, and that was one of the pretexts on which they went in there and intervened in Venezuela. And the Europeans are saying that's not Greenland. You know, Greenland is different And also, it's part of Denmark, which is part of NATO, and America is part of NATO. So we're part of this alliance together, and there's mutual defence clauses within NATO. Now, whether Donald Trump would pay any heed to that ultimately remains to be seen. It's also quite complex because NATO doesn't really have a provision about what would happen if one member turns on another member. It's rather if an external force was to attack any member of NATO. So it's a very different scenario here with Greenland. But ultimately, I mean, I think what the comments from the US have suggested is that they probably rightly feel that the Europeans would not put up a fight militarily if they were to intervene in any way in Greenland. Obviously, America is the biggest military power, is by far the most powerful member of NATO, and that is the fact, and that's the way Donald Trump looks at the world.
Now, what happens if they do start to make overtures to either go in and take Greenland, and it wouldn't take much force because the population is very limited and there's very little there. I mean, Trump disparagingly said they boosted their security. Denmark boosted the security of Greenland by adding one dog sled, which just shows the contempt he really has for Greenland and for Denmark. But Article 4 of the NATO treaty could be invoked by any country feeling threatened, even being threatened by one of its own members. It would go to a meeting of the council and all the NATO members, including the US, would be there. And whether or not they would be able to withstand all the collective members of NATO turning on them, you know, would they be happy with that? Putin certainly would be happy with that, but not necessarily the United States.
Yeah, I think the politics of this is crucial in that I can't see a scenario where the rest of NATO would antagonize the United States over this, because they, at the moment, they are looking and are quite desperate now for US commitment to Ukraine. I think that is a huge context here, that this is taking place at a very sensitive time in those peace discussions, as some people see it, between Russia and Ukraine. So the idea of the other countries kind of ganging up in America and taking them on about this issue at this juncture, I wouldn't say that would happen. Now, let's see. It's this confluence of these two different stories, but connected stories, that is the issue here. Also, I mean, Denmark is saying, what Denmark is saying is that it wants to open up this diplomacy because it feels that the characterization by Trump that it's surrounded by Russian and Chinese ships is false. They're saying, well, it's not actually. Most of the ships around there are American. Yes, there has been increased access around the waters of Greenland, particularly with climate change. And there are, of course, Russian and Chinese ships, but they're trying to dispel this. So they're trying to kind of put the facts on the ground in some way with the Americans, and are trying to dispute this characterization. And one is hearing from Denmark, they want to get around the table. They feel that there is some compromise here, as I say, to encourage maybe more US troops to go to Greenland. I don't think anyone would have a problem with that on the European side, and saying that they have a right to go there and that would be okay. Open more military bases maybe. But will that be enough for the United States, or will Donald Trump want more of a win in terms of sovereignty?
It'll be interesting to see how all this plays out domestically in the United States. I mean, Stephen Miller is deputy chief of staff, and yet he seems to be making policy, sometimes on the hoof. And the Democrats have now called on him to resign because he is not an elected official. He was one chosen by Trump. Then his wife goes painting a US flag all over the map of Greenland and posting that. Like, who do these people think they are? They clearly think they own Donald Trump.
Yeah, I mean, I think Donald Trump makes policy like this. I mean, that is his style. So we've seen Jared Kushner, for example, played a central role in the meeting in Paris yesterday of the allies about Ukraine policy. He was there along with Steve Witkoff, who also comes from this kind of New York deal-making background. So they were the people that were representing the United States at this crucial meeting in Paris yesterday. So I think Donald Trump is going to continue running, you know, his administration like that. I mean, in terms of the political implications of the United States, I think what happens next in Venezuela is going to be huge as well. How does this play out? Donald Trump last night also made the claim on social media that Venezuela was going to send 50 million barrels of oil to the United States. And he announced that this was coming to the US. And this situation where there are reports of more repression in Venezuela with this interim president, about Trump is having meetings with a lot of the US oil companies. I mean, this pattern now that's now emerging in terms of the post-Maduro Venezuela, I think that's going to have an impact, how that evolves on public opinion. And of course, maybe the to on that point about Stephen Miller, I mean, J.D. Vance is an interesting figure here because he has been very much an isolationist. The idea of not getting involved in foreign wars, is his voice being somewhat overlooked here? Although he did visit Greenland, Inuk, last year with his wife.
Yeah, it's interesting, and I'll play something for you just as a counterpoint to what's going on in Europe. Caitlin Collins of CNN aired a montage highlighting the deep contradictions regarding foreign intervention. Donald Trump promised US voters while he was on the campaign trail that there'd be none of this, but the very opposite is happening while he is in office. Now, this starts with President Trump talking to the press on Air Force One about Colombia.
Colombia is very sick too, run by a sick man who likes making cocaine and selling it to the United States, and he's not going to be doing it very long, let me tell you. We believe that the job of the United States military is not to wage endless regime change wars. You have to do something with Mexico. Mexico has to get their act together because they're pouring through Mexico, and we're going to have to do something. The cartels are running Mexico, whether you like it or not. It's not nice to say, but the cartels are running Mexico.
We will stop racing to topple foreign, and you understand this, foreign regimes that we know nothing about, that we shouldn't be involved with.
Do you, though, there's been protesters killed in Iran.
If they start killing people like they have in the past, I think they're going to get hit very hard by the United States. Regime change in Iraq, regime change in Libya, regime change in Syria, and every other globalist disaster for half a century. We need Greenland from the standpoint of national security, and Denmark is not going to be able to do it.
We're getting out of the nation-building business and instead focusing on creating stability in the world.
The American dominance in the Western Hemisphere will never be questioned again. Stupid foreign wars in countries that you've never heard of.
So that's the Donald contradicting himself there, Suzanne. And it just shows whether it's deliberate or not, deliberate deceit on the part of the Trump campaign, or whether just power has gone to his head.
Yeah, I mean, I think what was interesting there was his use of the phrase regime change at various points. But the reality of what's happening in Venezuela is that it's not really regime change because it's Maduro's people who are remaining in power. And there is no sign that the Americans are pushing for fresh elections in Venezuela. So that's the other issue for the rest of the world. The EU put out an initial statement saying, you know, we always recognize that the Maduro government was illegitimate. Now his right-hand person, Rodriguez, who is under EU sanctions, is now the president. So, you know, that's the Americans, as he said himself, are now running in Venezuela. So it's a different scenario than the regime change maybe he was explaining. But whether this is going to fly, whether this is going to be supported by the rest of America, remains to be seen.
And we will be talking to a Venezuelan expat later on in the program about the reality of the repression of Maduro and his pals, and the likelihood under Delcy Rodriguez that could continue. Finally, Suzanne, I should ask you about Mercosur. We had some comments from the Taoiseach earlier in China, but not entirely sure what way this is going to go on Friday. Will there be a blocking mechanism that will prevent it going through, or are the farmers likely to be screwed again?
Well, whatever the rights and wrongs of Mercosur, I won't comment on that, but I think it is going to go through on Friday. Italy has effectively become the swing vote because in reality, this can go through without the unanimous support of all 27 member states. It just needs a qualified majority of those states to go through. Now, this morning, we heard from some French ministers who are still vehemently opposed to Mercosur. They've been out on their own national airwaves saying this. But I think there's a realization in Paris that they can't really block this. So today, there's an EU agriculture ministers meeting in Brussels. We will hear more there. And it was interesting, von der Leyen, the president of the Commission, in a letter yesterday, set out some kind of advance payments for farmers in the next 7-year budget for CAP. Now, that may be enough to get Italy over the line. There was a very positive statement from the Italian Prime Minister, Giorgia Meloni, yesterday on that. So there are indications that Italy will back this on Friday at a vote of ambassadors or at a meeting of ambassadors in Brussels. Now, let's see. I think we will have a clearer idea this evening after that EU agriculture ministers meeting.
Suzanne Lynch, Brussels Bureau Chief with Bloomberg. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.